Contrast this with Watson and his pioneering experiments with subject baby Albert B. Popular opinion of this study places it in the realm of the unethical or cruel, since the child was removed before it could be deconditioned. However, discovery demands doors be busted down. As you'll know from your reading, Watson successfully instilled classical conditioning in the subject, including fear, and then attaching that fear to any object he chose with the application of loud noise. In this case, it was a rat. And the fear bled into other objects of similar color or texture, thus the forging of an association of fear. The specter of fear, created in the imagination and prompted by stimuli, often related to any kind of danger, looms large over the human brain. Now, take the case of the subject known simply as SM. The subject suffered from a kind of bilateral brain damage, Urbach-Wythe disease, where parts of the brain waste away over time. The result in the subject was the absence of a discernible amygdala. Now, as you should already be aware, the amygdala plays a central role in generating fear response. The ability to recognize danger and experience fear for one's life is a survival instinct. Fear can keep the human alive. The subject was unable to detect and thus avoid danger in her movements through the world. Is it remarkable that she is still alive? Perhaps. But as humans rarely compete with nature to survive, her chances are much higher than they would have been a century or so ago. That she lived in a high-crime area adds an interesting wrinkle to this point, however. Frieda defines the basic human emotions as anger, joy, shame, sadness, and fear. Other emotions, such as jealousy and guilt, do not have the same biological imperative as the aforementioned. Basic emotions are always about something. They are spontaneous responses to changing circumstances and reveal a lot about one's relationship with their environment. Emotions prepare us for action. In situations that induce fear, they are motivating forces that prepare the human to flee or stand and fight. Emotions are distinct from feelings, as they are beyond control. They raise an alert, such as the tightening in the gut when one feels fear. Frieda stated that emotion is an essentially unconscious process. Thus, again, they are about something. And due to their unconsciousness, one can't make decisions and have thoughts as readily as when experiencing feelings. Yes, unconscious, conscious. Fear is unconscious, unable to be controlled, and is an emotional reaction to a change in what? Environment. There you go. Fear is an emotion, a full body reaction to external stimuli or sufficient internal suffering. The subject was able to experience emotions of happiness or sadness, and despite traumatic experiences encountered in her life, she felt no fear from them. Subject SM handled snakes and spiders she purported to hate, but without fear, and fails to recognize social cues of personal space. Another interesting wrinkle is her lack of skill in identifying fear in others, though that appears to be a lack of exposure to such things. Rules her out as a sadist, at any rate. Just my little joke. A spike in natural human curiosity leads to the subject touching hated things without regard for consequence. Additionally, the subject would repeatedly approach other humans to stand what would be deemed too close or initiate physical contact with perfect strangers. While she understands what personal space is, she has no true concept of it and no way to use it in a way that makes natural sense. Now, what can we learn from this example? In the fully functioning human brain, the amygdala is an arbiter of fear response, the primal need to protect one's life, the urgency and desperation of the fight or flight response. Without a functioning amygdala, are we able to say that fear can be adequately controlled? And without fear as a motivating emotion, does this make less of a human? Or something more? Now, innate and learned fears. Learned fears do not occur independently. They are projected onto the subject by others, usually the parents, like an imprint. Like all living organisms, humans adapt to survive by learning from their environment. Example, parent of yours gets bit by a snake. This scares them, thus scaring you, and you'll develop the desire to protect yourself from snakes. Now, a common misconception is that the fear of death is innate, but this is incorrect. The fear of death is learned. It's relationships with others and introduction to the concept of death that plants the seeds of fear. Without context, there is no learning and thus no fear. Common fears like failing, being abandoned, those are formed through interpersonal relationships. No learning, no learned fears. However, those fears I listed are neither useful, logical, nor practical. If anything, they are inhibitive, and yet learned. As for innate fears, there are potentially only two, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. Both are linked to survival. The brain is aware that a long fall will result in injury or death and thus will throw up a red flag of fear. Loud noises, ha! Produce a fear response similar to shock or unprepared surprise, what one would call a jump scare. The very nature of these being innate fears virtually guarantees that the stimuli will rarely fail to arouse a fear response in an unimpeded subject. Hence, perhaps, the popularity of thrill activities such as roller coasters, horror movies, and haunted houses. The reaction may be controlled and even enjoyed, but some kind of fear response is virtually guaranteed. Now, as you know, Watson claimed that all fears are learned and not innate. How true is that statement? How provable is it? Is there any human being who can find safe passage through life without fear of any kind? Can there exist learned fears outside of society, or is it society itself that creates fears? Were it not for the prohibitive ethical issues of psychiatric testing on infants, there's a possibility of my having an answer for that question. That's a joke, everyone. Your term papers are due Friday. Anything submitted even 1 minute past the due date will be put in the shredder. No exceptions. Either you handed in your paper on time, or I'm reading about your death in the obits. That's it.